encounters, 95% of those on effective treatment, and then 95% of those achieving viral suppression. So 95, 95, 95. Yeah. In your opinion, having done all of the research and work in this area, are you optimistic about Canada hitting that goal?
I'm cautiously optimistic, but I think we need more work. And I think more people need to know their status, because they're roughly this proportion of people you mentioned earlier, almost 10%, who do not know their current status. And many people don't know it because they don't think they're at risk. Because initially, you know, symptoms of HIV can be like a mild cold or mild flu, you know, and so you don't associate it with HIV, because it's similar to other viral diseases, like even a very mild case of COVID or something. So this is why testing is important for sexually active adults. And self-testing is a really simple and easy way to do it. You can do it in the privacy of your own home at a time that's convenient to you. And the result is really useful, because if you're negative, you can talk to your doctor, nurse, or if you don't have a doctor or nurse, go to a pharmacist and ask, you know, what are some of the options I can talk to you about staying negative from HIV? There is, for instance, a pill you can take every day that will protect you. Or if you're positive, you can then talk to the pharmacist about getting referred to a clinic if you don't have a doctor or nurse, or talk to your healthcare provider about how to stay healthy. Today, treatment options are better than ever. They're very safe. They're very simple. They're as simple as taking one pill once a day, you know, and just with an entire regimen in your pill. And over, you know, a period of a few months, that suppresses the virus. And so people who are on effective treatment with HIV and their virus is suppressed, they do not pass on the virus to their sexual partner. And they're also in better health. And many people with HIV who use treatment today will live a long, healthy life well into their senior years. So times have really changed.
I'm glad you mentioned that. You know, we've talked on the show in the past about pre-exposure prophylactics or PrEP. And then I think you were referring to PEP, which I believe is post-exposure prophylactics. You know, all in all, excellent, incredible tools. And we've also talked on the show before about campaigns around undetectable equals untransmissible. And with the idea of it being suppressed, I'm not going to say into nothing, but like within a sliver of margin of error of nothing, because of course they haven't quite been able to nail down zero yet.
Actually, Luke, if I may interrupt you just there, they have done well-designed clinical trials, and if you are undetectable and stay undetectable in well-designed large clinical trials, no cases of transmission have occurred. And those trials were done almost 10 years ago. And since then, there have been no documented cases as well in the real world, the everyday world of a clinic and things like that. So I think you can say people with HIV who are suppressed on treatment do not pass on the virus. It is zero.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know that some folks are probably thinking, is HIV still a huge area of concern, you know, in Canada? The Public Health Agency of Canada for 2020 says that there was 1,520 new cases that came out. And we mentioned before, 1 in 10 of those not really being aware and potentially passing it on to others. For those who are listening who are sexually active and don't want to put themselves and those that they are having lovely times with at risk, what advice would you give to folks who are, you know, thinking about how to be better prepared, you know, as they move forward?
So for sexually active people, people who have been sexually active, even if you're not now, I encourage you to get tested. You can get a test going to your local pharmacy. You can go to a clinic, and you can also get a test mailed to your home through the website that I talked about earlier. So get tested. And when you get your result, you can talk to a pharmacist if you don't have a nurse or doctor. Talk to your pharmacist about, if you're negative, about options for staying negative. And those can include taking that pill every day that I talked about. It can there's also medicines available to take if you're not on that pill, and as you said, post-exposure prophylaxis, the next day and so on. but if you do test positive, it's important to know that these days a person with HIV can live a long, healthy life by getting on treatment as soon as possible. Many people with HIV on treatment will live well into their senior years and live a healthy, long life. So, we've come a long way from 30 or 40 years ago, and there are many options for prevention and treatment. And I just want to tell you an interesting thing about prevention. Next year, probably from July onwards, June or July onwards, Health Canada is likely to approve yet another very exciting HIV prevention tool. And that's an injection you can get every couple of months. And so, for people who don't want to take a pill every day and who can't, this might be another option for them. So, treatments are, new treatments will be coming down the line. New prevention options will be coming down the line. It's an exciting time. And if more and more people can get tested and be aware of their status, then I think, within a 5 years or 6 years, we can really make new HIV infections a thing of the past.
I just want to wrap up with, there's this sense that HIV has been the gay disease, which of course it is not. However, we do know that about 46-ish percent of new cases are among gay, bisexual, and men who have sex with men. But I wanted to zero in on some of the other stats that I think may surprise our listeners, and that's that 18.2% of new cases are among Indigenous folks, and then 22%-ish are with folks who inject drugs, and 32% are from among females, with another 33% through heterosexual intercourse. So it's not just the gay men here, although of course, as a gay man, it's certainly something I still and encourage other folks to take very seriously. But Indigenous folks, women, injection drug users, straight folks, these are segments of the population that maybe haven't paid as much attention to HIV in the past, and hopefully now, we'll do so.
Those are good points, Luke. I think your point there is, to extrapolate from that, is that all sexually active people should be looking after their health, getting regular sexual health checkups, whether it's checkups for HIV and sexually transmitted infections or other things. And HIV's affects, excuse me, different groups disproportionately in Canada. Like you mentioned, men who have sex with men and so on, but queer people, trans people, but also straight people. A large chunk of people with HIV are women as well, and Indigenous folks, and people who use drugs and so on. So I think it's up to everybody to look after themselves and get tested. And we have a self-testing if is available if you're a busy person and you want to do it in the privacy of your home. And once you test positive, talk to your pharmacist or nurse or doctor about ways of if, for instance, if you test positive, about ways of looking after your health. There's simple treatments that you can take, just one pill once a day, and they have almost no side effects, and they're easy to take. There's also injectable treatments that you can get once every couple of months if you have difficulty taking pills or remembering to take them. And if you're negative, talk to your pharmacist or nurse or doctor about ways of staying negative. There are many options available, and there's a pill you can take every day, for instance, that prevents HIV infection. So there's lots of ways to look after yourself, whether you're positive or negative.
Well, there is, frankly, there's no excuse to not know with self-tests available, like you said, online, selftest.katie.ca. This is part of a big federal initiative. I think it was like $8 million spent on about 200,000 self-test kits distributed by organizations such as Katie, with the goal, fingers crossed, very much fingers crossed, maybe eliminating HIV in Canada by 2030. I want to thank Sean Hossein, the science and medicine editor for Katie. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing with everyone listening some really sage advice to keep ourselves and our loved ones safe.
Thanks, Luke. Best wishes for a happy holiday season.
Mes bien-aimés, nous sommes ici pour partager ce qui nous lie. Bougez.
Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
My name is Sebastian.
And that was, what song was that? That was Bouger by Mika. And yeah, another great new Mika track, always a Mika fan. Now, earlier, I forgot to mention some Eurovision news. And heaven forbid that we go a whole show without me mentioning Eurovision. Mm-hmm. And that is that, you know, Olly Murs?
No.
No, not Olly Murs. Olly Alexander. I forgot. I got the wrong Olly.
Also no.
Yeah, so Olly Alexander, everyone should know Olly Murs, but Olly Alexander is, Olly Murs is a judge on The Voice in the UK, sidebar, but Olly Alexander is the lead singer of the show, of the band Years and Years.
Okay.
He also had an acting stint with It's a Sin, the HIV AIDS documentary miniseries, not documentary, but the docudrama series. Out of the UK. I think Russell T. Davis may have been behind that.
Okay.
Fantastic piece. Anyway, he is Britain's Troy Sivan, is really the best way of knowing who this guy is, and okay. Is rumored to be running for the British entry to Eurovision. Now, Eurovision is seen as a bit of a graveyard for established musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And Olly Alexander is definitely an established musician. But there is it's an interesting discussion about, you know, will Britain be sending someone who could actually win?
Could actually win? Okay.
Oh, I don't know. People are busting out the popcorn ready. I just wanted to quickly recap some other HIV stories based on the conversation from earlier. The AIDS Memorial Quilt in the UK has just been digitized, and you can now actually see the AIDS Memorial Quilt. Just for our listeners who may not be familiar, what's the significance of the AIDS Memorial Quilt?
Oh, I mean, there's a whole series of them back in the early 90s and late 80s. And basically, it was just anyone who had someone that they loved pass away from HIV or AIDS. HIV turns into AIDS. HIV is harmless on its own. They would make a commemorative square to sort of symbolize the person, sort of like a family quilt kind of idea where, you know, you have something that represents them. It could just be their name. It could be symbolism that represented them in some way. It could just be a square of their favorite color. It didn't matter. And it was, although they usually prefer that you put a little bit more effort than just a square of their favorite color. And then they were all stitched together into sort of like a family blanket of loved people from whoever participated in that. So normally it would be like the New York area, the San Francisco area, the Miami area, sort of representing those who died of HIV. And it started, where did it start? I think it did start in New York and then spread out from there. But I might be getting my history wrong. You're putting me on the spot. But they did, they were very big in the late 80s, early 90s, especially. So these quilts were often put on display as just sort of a way of symbolizing the sheer number of people who passed away locally, because the story isn't just the individual squares. The story is also how big these quilts ended up being, because a lot of people died of HIV, unfortunately. And some of these quilts are just massive.
It really is. So yeah. The one that's been digitized is, I want to say, like 42 panels, I think it is.
Okay.
42 large pieces, they're mm-hmm. quilts, king-size bed sort of size. Mm-hmm. And there's 8 panels in each one, and there's 42 of them in the British quilt. Okay. I think the American one is bigger. I believe there's a Canadian quilt as well. Mm-hmm. And commemorates folks who have died from HIV AIDS from the 1980s till the end of the 1990s. Mm-hmm. Folks have been adding to it ever since, but this is a huge thing. And the Google Arts and Culture teamed up with a whole string of British HIV AIDS organizations, the AIDS Quilt UK in particular, and the Terence Higgins Trust to digitize it. They didn't just take fancy photographs. It includes quotes and comments from the people who did the quilting. Mm-hmm. And it also has some audio clips. As people talk about why they created their piece, who the person is that they are remembering, the lives lost, the potential that got taken away. You know, it was a generation that got impacted. So yeah, that's now available online. You can find it, just search UK AIDS Memorial Quilt and should be able to find it quite easily. The other one, the good news story I wanted to touch on, because it's, we don't tend to touch enough on it. The UK government has expanded its program of opt-out HIV testing. This has been doing incredibly well. They started over the summer. I think we talked about it in brief. But yeah, so they have, we mentioned it in the interview, but part of the issue with HIV is some folks just don't know that they have HIV. And if they're not getting tested for it, they will continue to not know they have HIV and very well may infect the next person they have intimate relations with. So what the UK has done is, for a number of, I think there's 46 new emergency departments being added in terms of, I think there were 32 of them before. And now at accident and emergency, if you arrive and you've got a broken leg or whatever, and they do some blood work, they will automatically test everyone who gets blood work for HIV.
Specifically
and
HIV,
Hep C, HIV, Hep B, Hep C, unless you are like, I'd rather plead ignorant and not know if I have Hep, you know?
Yeah,
they're defaulting to testing. Which is huge. They've already identified, and I think it started in August, they've already identified 4,000 people who weren't aware that they had sexually transmitted infections or diseases.
Oh, wow. Okay. Of all varieties, including...
Well, the ones that they were testing for, Hep B, Hep C, HIV.
Okay.
Yeah, which is huge. Because everyone that knows can be on treatment and can and become undetectable, become untransmittable, and stops being a vector for that disease to grow. So this it's massive. I'd love to see something rolled out like this in Canada to kind of really tackle that issue of not knowing that sort of dominates a lot of the spread here.
And those 4,000 cases, if you're throwing in the hepatitises, that would include people who just got it from salad that was washed in the wrong water. Like, so, I mean, it's not, I mean, obviously it is about sexually transmitted infections, but it's also just about the general process of acquiring diseases that you may not know you have, because some of these can like lay dormant in your system where it is. And some people just, the way their immune system works, they won the lottery, but also lost it at the same time. The viral load is low enough that they never really get symptoms until their liver just dies on them. But they do have a high enough viral load that they could pass it on. That awkward middle ground is a very strong space in terms of infecting the population further. And it's not just about sexually transmitted diseases. It's also about donating blood. It's also about I mean, there's also sharing needles, unfortunately, but sharing needles doesn't have to be about drugs. It could just be somebody who's sloppy with their insulin medication and somebody gets poked on a sharp. Like, things like this can happen. And if you know, then you can be more careful. It's, I don't know. This is one of those things where it benefits everyone. It's not just about the STI.
There is a startup gynecological business in the UK that is now sharing at-home diagnostic tampons for STIs, sexually transmitted infections. And what it does is it looks at that sort of microbiome, and you would test it at home, you would use the tampon, and then I believe that there is a screening kit that you have to pay for. But yeah, so it's just like, it's giving people the ability to take their own health literally into their own hands, and literally into other places. But it's that I mean, I think this is great news. It's nice to see technology and innovation sort of moving forward. The HIV uptake is something like 25 to 75% of people are not opting out. So that's huge. It's huge. It just every one person is a win.
It's not as good as a medical triquarter, but we're on our way.
We are on our way to medical triquarters.
Yeah.
We have, however, run out of time. I did want to mention that I am now an extremist in Moscow. The Russian courts have decided that the international LGBTQ movement, I believe I am a card carrying member. Did you get yours in the mail?
No, I've been rejected because I'm a centrist.
Oh, you're non-practicing. That might be.
Yeah, I'm non-practicing.
But yes, they decided the whole LGBT community is extremist. As much as we joke about it, the Moscow police did raid several bars last night. People were photographed, passports written down and notarized. It's what giving secret police vibe.
They didn't get physical and there were no arrests made, but it was a clear intimidation tactic. It is
100%. 100%.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. All right. We have run out of time. That's all we've got time for today. We'll be playing out with. They decided the whole LGBT community is extremist. As much as we joke about it, the Moscow police did raid several bars last night. People were photographed, passports written down and notarized. It's giving secret police vibe.
They didn't get physical and there were no arrests made, but it was a clear intimidation tactic. It is
100%. 100%.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. We have run out of time. That's all we've got time for today. We'll be playing.
PFLAG Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Did you know that LGBT students hear anti-gay slurs an average of 26 times a day? One out of every four LGBT youth are told to leave home. LGBT youth are more likely to be homeless. 30% of suicides are LGBT. PFLAG is committed to anyone struggling with sexual orientation and gender identity issues. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.